Welcome to
Got Your Milk,
a podcast about FX's The Strain. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim, F-I-T-T-E-N-T-R-I-M, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Today we're going to be breaking down Season 3, Episode 7, Collaborators, which refers to possibly Cetrakian and Palmer getting together at the end. Maybe it Collaborators refers to how F and Dutch and
Strabone,
Quinlan go to work, or possibly,
but it's the
ancient,
main one.
Ancient Fett is collaborating. Possibly.
I believe that's the most classic definition of the word collaborating with the enemy.
Exactly right. Let's get to it. Number one,
let's do it.
My co-host, Mork, how can people find you on Twitter, and what is your ranking out of 10 for Season 3, Episode 7, Collaborators of the Strain?
Oh my goodness, they can find me at Extraordinary. And that's Extraordinary with a W in front of the ultimate R. I'm going to give this episode, I'm going to give it 10 TTs.
10 double Ts out of 10. That's incredible, Mark. Yes. So why so high?
Well, because at least our gang was not completely splintered. So it was a mainly congealed gang. And I realized something that it may have taken me three seasons and six episodes to catch on to.
What's that?
Well, it feels like Cetrakian tends to be involved in what I like to call pot boilers in drawing room mysteries.
Ooh!
He lends a little bit of the Agatha Christie-esque
right
to the proceedings. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I was looking back, really thinking about episode 9 in season 1 and episode 4 in season 2. We can spend some time revisiting those in this episode, because I know we have a lot of time. But I was just thinking about that, and it all clicked.
Okay, that was a Trump debate-esque answer, where you started in one place and ended up in a place, I have to be honest, I'm not sure about.
You know, I would just like to finish my answer.
That's okay. So 10 out of 10.
Time limit.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Love it. So let's go to our special guest, Catfish. Catfish, you were kind enough to join us on this episode, Collaborators. Mm-hmm. So
glad I did.
Tell everybody how they can find you on Twitter and what your ranking out of 10 is.
Well, they can hit me up at CJGman67. Now, I've got some ground to make up here. Missed a couple.
You sure have.
So I kind of want to recap here. So I'm going to give this 30 what I like to call double P's.
Double B's or double P's?
Double P's.
As in Paul?
Yeah, as
double
in
P's.
As in phlebotomized Palmers.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Excellent. You're making up for lost time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just get to it. What was your UV light, a.k.a. favorite scene of this episode that you seemingly liked a lot?
As usual with this show, there are so many of them that I almost can't put my finger on one of them. But I'm going to have to go with the final final scene.
All right.
I can see in a sort of show-stopping, kind of has a Grand Guignol feel to it.
Oh.
Palmer's eyes. So I'm going to give it to that.
Just to let our listeners know, both Catfish and Mork cackled very hard when Coco's replacement declared, "I quit."
the sign of a good show is when you can identify with some of the characters.
Yeah,
so
I really felt jealous.
Jealous?
Sure. Yeah. Because she no longer.
Where
is
exactly
with
did
the
she
show.
Run? She didn't go down the elevator.
She went to get her things. She lives there at the Stoneheart Group.
Oh, okay.
I quit. Right. But first, I'm going to ransack your room.
First, I'm going to ransack the room.
For my wages, my past wages.
Do you think that she pocketed any of the light?
She had the remaining vial of it.
Yeah.
I do have to say this, you know, it seemed like it was more than a dose. He gave him like 5 doses. That's too much.
Was there any thought,
the drug dealers don't say, "Here, let me give you 5, hits of heroin to get you started."
Right.
Maybe 2 tops.
Now, was there any thought that it might be some other sort of disgusting fluid in a vial that Palmer?
When he said I got cheated,
a bit of a prankster.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
If he had said, "Oh my God, it stings" or "It's salty," I would have had another question.
All right, but he did not. He did not.
That's very terrible.
Honor among thieves. Can I ask you a question, Bubba?
I would love you to.
first off, how do you stay so thin? Second off,
right, sure.
The white.
What's your rating?
Yeah.
Well, you guys were not here for the recording of the podcast, but you guys called me during the week and told me that I was right. Last week's episode was great. I give, for everybody who didn't download last week's podcast, please go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to Podomatic, and download and subscribe to the Got Your Milk podcast. And sure enough, the episode tonight went back to the scene of where F originally got milk from Jim, the name of the podcast. Mm-hmm. So last week I was really high on the episode. I gave it 9 out of 10. But this week, I'm going to not be so high, believe it or not. In fact, this week, I am going down. I am going down to where the ancients live.
You know, you are always the hardest critic on the show. You're always the hardest critic.
We just what we just saw. There's I can't believe. Now, because you think that there's something negative about this, I'm going to make you say something positive.
Wait, well, I haven't given my ranking out of 10. I am giving this 3. I'm going down from a 9 out of 10 to 3, what I like to call double V's out of 10.
Double V's?
Double V's.
That's right. Now, double V is a term, you know, we're out in Hollywood, you go up to somebody, hey, got me some double V, hey, you know, a lot of times at night, underneath the expressway, you meet somebody in your black SUV, and I say, hey, give me some double V, which is, of course, Visine vials. And so, because you need to drop some stuff in your eye and get high, get busy, get blazed,
now,
man.
I still haven't heard from the two of you, though, what your UV light scenes were.
Oh gosh!
This
I don't know where to start.
This episode, I was very
neither
down.
Did I.
I was obviously down on it. I was very down on it, and I thought last week I told the listeners that this show can do some things well, but the best thing it does well is wacky, crazy action fun. This episode was almost devoid of action. It certainly wasn't very wacky, and it focused on the one thing I think the strain has done the worst, and that's melodrama. I just thought this episode was pointless. You should be building towards the end of the episode, towards the end of the season, so that everybody gets excited for that last season coming up. And it was pointless. I guess if I had to pick a favorite scene in the episode, it's when that guy got shot in the head, because I was jealous.
Which guy?
I was jealous. Anybody who got shot in the head. Mr. Goy got stabbed through.
Fett's buddy. That scene. Well, Fett's scene dead. Had a lot of tension in it. And when I say a lot, I mean none.
Well, it was quite the trick. I don't think I've ever actually seen a hostage type situation where
which is where I feel like right now.
What do you mean? By watching the show? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
That I'm.
Look,
if everyone knew,
car keys,
I'm actually.
You'll get your car keys and your ID back later.
After
we won't
the podcast,
say when.
Got it.
We won't say when, but when you do, you're going to love it. It's going to be unbelievable.
Okay, so what was your UV light scene?
Yeah, what was your UV light scene?
Wait, you still don't think you said yours.
I said when the guy.
Oh, right. Okay,
sorry. Nazi, let's kill it.
Right, because he was out of his misery. What about you?
He was a little bit out of his
What about you, Mark?
God, I don't. I'm not sure, sir. I did. I always enjoy the Palmer and Tetrakian scenes. They're quite ridiculous. I think there were not as many of what Bubba likes to call boogie scares that there were last week.
Like a boogeyman. There was no boogeyman.
Right.
Yeah, no. But you call them boogie scares on the podcast.
Boogie.
And,
okay.
I think it's fantastic.
You know, one thing I do want to say though is that I like. Since I'm here to kind of make this
you don't have a choice
topical
sure, let's
to make this podcast topical and there was another big event that happened tonight and I wanted to read a quote from
a
tonight's
team from the NFC North becoming 5-0
there was a big political event but I just want to say there was a line that our friend Strabone said that I think applies to both events that occurred this evening so to make it more topical I'd like to quote him
let's do it.
His line was savagery is the default state of civilization. So I think that applies to
the presidential debate.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
I think if we could compare all scenes from The Strain Tonight, Departure of the Debate, we'd all be better off.
Okay, so let's go through our recap. If there, you guys love the episode so much, if there are any spoiled milk scenes, I want you to say, I will be saying nothing but spoiled milk scenes, it seems like, in this episode. So we go back in time. The episode starts on Eichhorst last week, who lost a hand in the exciting action, you know, pretty much roasting some worms. He's trying to heal the, burn the wound shut.
Now, I don't know if you want to get into this, because this is probably a conversation that is more complex than the show wants to get. But my question is, for these guys to have last forever, the master, Eichhorst, certainly in life, they've gotten some nicks and scrapes.
Sure.
And there has to be some sort of, even though they're no longer quote-unquote living, some sort of resuscitative power that keeps them recovering from these standard bumps and bruises. Maybe some of them play basketball occasionally. They get a little twisted ankle, a little torqued shoulder. So do we think that Eichhorst's hand is going to grow back, or is we just going to call him Righty from now on?
No, I don't think it's coming back. I mean, the master does switch bodies, so...
But not very often. He hadn't switched bodies in
when it gets chewed up. When it gets chewed up. I mean, you know, missing one hand, when you can do the things that you can do, I mean, I think when you have super strength with one hand, is, you know, just like you do with two. So I don't think it's going to slow him down too much.
Right.
A couple of legs, okay, fine.
I would say, then he could walk they don't switch bodies too often.
Well, the master, no one else switches bodies. Eichhorst has.
No, but the master, how long was he technically in Bolivar to where he had to, the Crimson Worm had to.
Well, that's because he got attacked, but wasn't there sort of the sense that the body that he was in is a body that he's been in?
Oh, yeah.
For, I can't even remember.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Right. So, I mean, I guess.
That's why you stay locked up in your room.
Sleeping in the dirt is really restrictive.
It's like a mud bath. That's what he's been doing. I didn't like how he shoved his whole hand into a fire. You take a nice iron skillet.
Right.
I don't know if you guys watch any of the Anthony Bourdain, but he's always talking about you can get a good iron skillet or a good stainless steel. Thank you. Pan for like $10. You get that surface nice and hot, even, and you just press down the wound. Kabam! You don't burn your whole arm. What was that all about?
Well, you know what?
Whole second arm to burn off. I know.
You know, I don't think you're an expert in double S the way he is.
Double S?
Solderized strigoi. Oh,
maybe.
Got to solder that strigoi. So let's follow Eichhorst in the past and in the present. So after he, quote-unquote, heals his chopped-off hand that Dutch gave him in the great episode last week, he goes and visits Palmer. And I have to wonder, what is going on? This show just loves to pull stuff up out of nowhere. So Palmer is doing bad. He made this deal with the master, and the master, he wanted to be turned, if I understood. He wanted to be turned so he could live forever.
Correct. He wanted to be made Eichhorst, and all he's been getting is... Is little bits of the white.
Little bits of the white.
But, does he want to be Eichhorst or Cetrachian?
No, he wants to be Eichhorst. He wants to live forever.
No,
he's in pain.
He is insisted and been upset. He feels like he's being led along by getting little dribs and drabs of the white.
Sure.
For sure.
But Eichhorst is he's got a feeler and everything like that. Is that what Palmer wants?
Or that's what Palmer wants. Because
that's what I think he wants. That's what he's acted like he wanted these seasons.
It's never been made clear. I mean, even though Cetrachian looks okay, he still looks old. So apparently the white doesn't do to you what being turned does.
If you got him a new cane and you trim that goatee, he'd look 20 years younger.
All right, now listen. This is a philosophical debate that is not worthy of the strain.
Okay, got it. So, you mean strike that, reverse it.
Sorry. So anyway, we see the new Fitzwilliam. We see Coco's replacement, and they are trying to help Palmer, and they're mentioning that the boat has come in. Hey, the boat has come in. This boat was ordered, according to the calendar and the timeline the show has set, almost before the plane landed. Right. This boat was coming.
Well, that would make sense. You'd want to set everything up. That part makes logical sense to me. You want to be you make a deal. You say, okay, I'm going to infiltrate myself, and it's going to take this amount of days for everything to spread. And then you guys show up. I've already taken over.
When the new ancient ones come up, that's you're saying.
Although I will say, and not to jump too far ahead, it was one of those moments.
Quite a theory.
When Cetrachian goes quite far afield to something where when you hear it, you go, yeah, I guess that's what it is.
That could very well be. Maybe.
But the fact that he guessed it with zero information is puzzling to me.
Now, well, I think we've all learned, well, we should have all learned to not discount Satrakian's wacky theories.
They're always right.
Anyone who's going to spitball.
Oh, always right.
No. Anyone who's going to spitball. Yeah.
No, I absolutely believe him. But the fact is, for the audience, this comes out of nowhere.
Oh, totally.
That's
but
correct.
I just meant Fett wasn't going to be like, Professor, I don't know.
You
know.
No, no, no. As soon as he says it, you go, I guess that's what's happening.
Yep.
I don't know how he guessed it.
Yeah.
But maybe the white gives you crazy powers.
Clairvoyance.
It probably,
yeah, right,
it
exactly.
Probably does. Now, I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. I'm not as up on current events as Bubba.
Yeah,
right.
But does the importing of these quote-unquote tractor parts, does that count against our trade deficit? Would either candidate fix the deficit that's being exacerbated by these tractor parts? Or
yes, and they're not paying any taxes or tariffs when they bring these tractor parts / ancient ones in. In fact,
it's clearly inferior Chinese tractor parts.
It could be.
No, I think these are Egyptian ancient tractor parts.
How are we going
to? They ship them through Egypt to avoid paying tariffs.
How are we going to make Central Park great again?
How does Palmer, who goes to the boat and he's like, I own this boat, and yet he's met by people with Uzis and machine guns who say, yeah, you can't come on the boat. So,
well, there was a code of maritime honor. They got to listen to the captain.
You have got to believe, though,
what?
That as soon as Palmer leaves, he's got to know that coming back is pointless.
Right.
It's stupid.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you saying that Palmer is Kaiser Soze?
I'm saying I wish he was Kaiser Soze.
All right.
Starting to make sense.
Spoilers for Fight Club, everybody. All right, so we okay, so we go back to, so he leaves the Stoneheart group, he goes to the dock, then he leaves the dock and he comes all the way back to his sick office at Stoneheart group, and that's where Ikorst shows up again, and Ikorst is telling him they have
it's a weird thing.
Why did Ikorst even come? He doesn't say anything.
Ikorst comes and he's like, you're going to be in trouble. And Palmer's right. Like, no, the master likes me more than he likes you. So get out of here.
Oh, my Lord.
Is that how he really talks? He doesn't talk like
that. It would be more enjoyable if he did talk like that, though. You know what? I mean, if we set these up as two preteen girls.
I am Eldridge Palmer. Back off. You know how long it takes me to do my makeup?
In honor of tonight's political proceedings, I'm going to refer to Ikorst not as poor man's Christoph Waltz, but as poor man's Anderson Cooper.
Okay.
But so, okay, if you're Ikorst, here's a
semi-serious
question.
This is what happens.
Okay,
when Ikorst comes in, Palmer says, as soon as I get the white from the master, I'm putting you in jail.
I'm getting a special prosecutor to do whatever I want. Now, if you're Ikorst,
right,
and you're already feeling a little bit,
yes,
a little bit, sorry, if you're poor man's Anderson Cooper,
right,
and you're feeling
right,
a little bit
PMAC
left out already,
uh-huh,
right, a little bit left
and you
already
go see Palmer and you just be like, your 2 minutes are up.
No, that's what the nurse was there for. No, but so how pissed would you be if the master is going to bring in three more ancient,
what are the
ancient ones going to do? They're just going to be another.
They're going to usurp your position.
Right. Another level, a layer of middle management.
Well, the question is Satrakian the only one who guesses, or does Ikorst even know? Does Ikorst know? Why is Palmer even around anymore? It seems like they've squeezed every last drop they're going to get out of Palmer.
Right.
He's clearly on his deathbed. I don't know. We don't know what's going on with the master. Is he?
No.
Has he taken over a body? Like, has he taken over a rat? And he's just like running around with a piece of pizza in his mouth, trying to find somebody else to get into.
Oh man, if Pizza Rat was totally
pizza
the master.
Pizza Rat.
All right. So I want to go back, if it's okay. One of the things that people love. And I use people in quotes
right?
About the Got Your Milk podcast.
A lot of people have been saying, yes.
About the Got Your Milk podcast is the reenactments have gone down.
Uh-huh.
But just because Catfish is taking it so far, I think it's time to do a reenactment of this Ikorst Palmer scene,
right,
but as the preteen girls.
Okay.
As the bitchy cat fest that it became. So
fair enough.
We now take you to the Stoneheart group. And take it away.
Bong!
Oh, I see you put on your nicest tie. Where did you get that from?
The master loves me. He loves me. Why do you think I'm still awake? I should just be dead. Oh, I could just die. OMG. But no, he keeps me alive because he likes me. Oh, he likes me. If I went to Facebook, I'm going to put us in a relationship. Oh, OMG. It's so great. Oh, great.
Okay, hold on.
Are you
hold
girls
on,
doing your homework?
Hold on.
Coco replacement. Why are you here?
Hold on. I wanted to go back
almost
here.
Almost close to getting my benefit.
I just need a time out here.
After I work long enough, I can quit and keep my benefits.
I need a timeout because I thought we were doing it as teenage girls instead of Woody Allen. So, if I like to keep going with an improvisation, but I don't quite know where to go when I'm dealing with teenage Woody Allen. Not that he doesn't know where to go.
Hey.
Okay, so that reenactment crashed and burned, like this episode.
I'm going to grab you right in your bagel. But I like it with some schmutz on it.
Terrible.
Okay, so what might be interesting if it was on a different show is that I coursed his like final oh snap comeback to Palmer was
right.
Enjoy your great view of the downfall of New York and the world. Like, yeah, but Palmer helped this. He's enjoying this.
And also, it's what I-Course wants.
Right.
I-Course wants the downfall of the world.
But the question is, why mock somebody like this? Either throw him out the window, the way you've done with several other people,
right.
Or you still need him for something. I don't understand.
Well, you still need somebody who can operate in the light. Theoretically, the Sturgoy and the Master, and even his servants with more powers, like the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly, or I-Course, they can't really go out in the sun. So,
the problem is,
right?
It seems to me the way Palmer is the way he is right now is he could die at any day.
Right.
So, is that your plan? Just sit here and die and expire? It seems like I-Course likes to take more direct action than just letting people die.
Okay.
He likes to have his hand in things.
Yeah, I see that.
One hand.
Yes, his hand.
Yeah, his one hand in things. Yeah, no, I don't know why they're chatting, but
this whole to the boat, I mock you. Back to the boat. Everyone is killed.
Yes,
I don't know what's in the boat.
It's gone. The cargo is gone.
I got to share. Let me just share real quick. Sorry to interject, fellas.
No, share it.
The flashbacks, which I know we're going to talk about, but
right.
I would much rather have seen some of, I can't tell you how great they were last week, those action scenes, in place of seeing, you know, basically what Fett told Satrakian in the basement. We didn't really need to see any of that. We could have just heard that, or Fett could have gone into his dad's place and then, oh, there's a picture of Grandpa. I'm going to, you know, Mom and Dad are dead. Spoiler alert. I'm just going to take this picture of Grandpa as a memento. You know, we don't need to see any of that stuff.
Well, that's a good point.
And you know, then we can see some more primetime action.
As soon as I saw the flashback, at least in a lot of flashbacks, they've carried on. But this was a self-contained flashback. After that, he killed himself. I mean, maybe we'll see more, but if we would, it wouldn't add any more.
Right.
So you're right. Completely right. The flashbacks are...
So we had these flashbacks that didn't really go anywhere.
No,
but we did... So we saw those, but you know what we didn't see? We didn't see the fallout from the end of last episode where Central Park was overrun with Sturgoy and like they lost everything. There was almost no – we didn't see Councilwoman Feraldo. We didn't see the effects of last week's quote-unquote terrible defeat.
Well, I think what they try to do here is you know there's the theory of the Star Trek movies that every other one is good.
That could be it.
Has action. This one, they like to go on like a one every five.
Well, I think almost a bit like Game of Thrones, they have one big battle budget for every season. And they used it last week, and they used it very effectively. But still, last week saw the team come together. But, of course, where was Silver Angel and Gus this episode? I mean, this episode after the high of last week is why I rated it so low. It didn't build on anything. Once again, you should be building toward the end of the season,
right.
Towards the last season coming up.
Okay, but to be honest, when they wrote this season, they had no idea
that's correct.
The next season would be the last.
That's true. That's, so and when they made it, it wasn't just when they wrote it. When they
exactly.
They shot it, when they edited it.
It's already all in the can and edited the whole thing. So, you know, they didn't know, and we didn't know, how lucky we would be.
Oh, I count my lucky stars. You know what else I count my lucky stars for is these sunglasses, because I know both of my buddies, Bubba and Catfish, know this, but I'm blind as a bat without my regular glasses.
Well, I say you look amazing. You look like the kind of guy who's a trooper who's going to pull me over and ask me how fast I do, if I know how fast I was going.
Well, I would if I could see you, but this might be how I watch every episode from now on. Is
all right. Well, let's move forward in this show.
Let's rewind and let's focus on people who are collaborators. That's F, Dutch, and now they've pulled in Quinlan, a.k.a. Strabone, into their plan.
Too?
We are collaborators as well. We are supporting the podcast by collaborating in. And so one of the first things that I thought might provide some drama is Quinlan walks in to where Dutch and F have been torturing Strigoi and pretty much ripping them apart and being like, "Hey, Strabone, this is how your brain works." And
I'd like to
and he didn't have any problem with that.
He really didn't. Although it would have been funny/interesting if there was some tension there. But they decided, you know what? Let's make this episode as tension-free as possible.
Right. So they
after last week's exciting events.
So last week,
I can't tell you how tense I was after watching last week's show.
So last week in the park, there was this big spike right before the master unleashed his do this plan.
Yep.
And theoretically, Ephraim, a CDC doctor who's now an expert in microwave signals.
Sure.
And
seismology.
Right. And Dutch, who was a computer hacker. Now they know radio waves and microwave waves very well. And they somehow think that those microwave signals might have been captured by the flight's black box.
Now, quick question, since I didn't care while I was watching this. To what end are they using the black box? Do they think they can use that to whisper to the other guys, "Stop doing what you're doing"? They're going to, like, break the vampire code? I don't understand what.
They want to mimic the signal. They want to...
Right.
And then get them to all come to the park.
Well, there'd be two things. Number one is they hope that they could use the signal to track where the master is. And then number two, they say every time they fight the master and his Strigoi, you know, the Strigoi have a communication system that they can't match. And so they think if they could knock out the communication system, then they'd be able to better fight Strigoi.
I understood that, but I don't understand how the black box is going to help them do that. It's just basically the master going, "Sleep."
Well, what if
sleep.
What are the odds that the message they want to send out, that F...
"Please fasten your seatbelts. We're in for a bumpy landing."
Wants desperately. Yeah, at this point, doesn't make sense for me to keep talking. So,
no, keep going, Mork. What do you say?
What are the odds that passive-aggressive F just wants to send a note to Zach saying, "You can stay"?
Oh, no.
Oh, that would...
Custody hearing on purpose.
Now, Mork, I bow down to you. That would be the greatest.
Yeah, but remember, the custody.
He would drop the mic.
The custody hearing he bailed out on was for the other Zach.
That's true.
That was for Zach 1.0.
That is definitely.
So we see that F, Dutch, and Quinlan are going to Queens, a.k.a. outside the safe zone, outside the zone where there's...
Airbnb says the same thing, by the way.
Right. And so what is crazy is there are human beings who are theoretically out here, and they are fighting each other rather than trying to kill Strigoi. But they're at least doing it in the daytime, which is great. F and Dutch do not like this family being attacked, so they get out to help. They really can't do much until Quinlan goes all Jackie Chan on them with bullet time speed and kills all the villains.
Now, I like Quinlan has... Strabone has a sense of restraint.
Right.
There's a lot of blood on the street. He decides to just lick the blood that's off of his sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Is that a UV light scene for everybody? The sword licking?
He could be drinking. He should just take his fill.
Right, those guys are dead anyway.
And he should look at Dutch while he's doing it.
Hey.
Yeah, you may be. Yeah. No, not in a dirty way, but just like...
I don't think there's a non-dirty way to do that.
Well, you're going to work on it.
Well, I always do. I always do. So Dutch, okay, so they get back in the taxi cab. They go straight to JFK, which, you know, when it was built, was one of the, you know, seven wonders of the world.
And this takes us back to the very first episode. The episode, he even mentions he was there with Nora and Jim. He doesn't mention that Jim got his milk, which was what this podcast is named after, but he's mentioning, and then...
Now, see, now, just a quick note.
Yeah.
The kind of humor I would appreciate on the show is, what if he's walking and there's just like a quick glimpse of an empty milk carton on the ground?
Oh, that would be sweet. Yeah,
right? I mean, just give us a little something.
Well, the thing, I'm sorry. So, Bubba, you were saying, and then I have a...
So, what I was saying is that Passive Aggressive has a moment that... Is it really true? He goes, if only I'd listened to Satrakian. Really, would that have done anything? I mean, could he have done anything if he had accepted the truth earlier? Because honestly, I don't think so. Yes, F was wrong. Yes,
no,
F screwed stuff up.
There was a lot they could have done. There's a whole thing about the coffin crossing the water. They could have stopped that. They could have stopped the people getting off of the plane and spreading. They could have definitely done a lot. And, yeah, no.
You don't agree, Catfish.
Yeah. Because...
Because what?
Because F was on the ground floor of this.
Yeah.
And F is the only man who can fix this.
Well, okay, so here's a question for you. F, at the time,
mm-hmm.
was sober.
Right.
And drinking only milk.
Yep.
He's right. Clearly... Not drinking milk anymore.
No.
So who has done more damage, drunk or sober F?
Ooh.
Ooh. Well,
that is a great question. I think it's...
I will say it's probably not egotistical on his part to think that he could have done something different, but there's a sense of regret.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think there's anything he could have done. What, he was going to convince a whole bunch of people that... This crazy Satrakian was
right. He could have thrown all those people who were in his way off of a train. That's how you stop him.
And he didn't... Okay, he wasn't listening to Satrakian, but to take everybody back to the first season and those first couple episodes, for example, he wanted all the passengers quarantined, but then he got overruled by those evil people who were getting paid
right.
by the Stoneheart.
He wasn't going to be able to fight them. He was just a bureaucrat.
So we go in, and we have... To be honest... There's really not much to say about the scene other than they find the black box. Quinlan takes out some Strigoi who are hanging out at the airport, and they leave. We're going to imagine, since they've been working on this plan so long, that this is going to lead up to something in the finale where they do track the master, where they do block his brain, his message. Well, let's hope.
Let's hope. But they do understand that the only way to actually play a black box recorder is to get in another plane and pop it into the dashboard and then fly around. So do any of them know how to fly a 737? That's the question.
Well, Dutch is a hacker. She's going to hack this black box. That's what she said.
I have a question. Okay. This again, I like to make things, this podcast, sort of value added. Let's think about things that they don't talk about on the show that might be interesting.
Sure.
Is there any way that any of these Strigoi could hurt Strabone? He's already been turned. He's half human. He's half vampire.
Right.
Obviously, it's not just a vocation, but an avocation, him killing Strigoi. I don't want to take that away
from him. He enjoys doing it.
I don't want to take that away from him.
It's always going to be his.
And obviously, he's protecting the weak humans. But the question is, do you think they could actually hurt him? What, are they going to bite him and he's going to be like, what? It's like a...
Well, he is made of flesh and blood and meat and bristles. So, yeah, I mean, they could chop.
Well, I don't know how much of him is. He's
in the battle.
Could rip his arms off. I mean, they could do all sorts of crazy things.
In the battle out at Coney Island, where they chopped off Bolivar's head, the master had turned a bunch of Strigoi, the SEAL Team 6.
Right.
And he had turned them and the Navy SEALs and had them shoot up Strabone. And that didn't really kill him there. But
I'm thinking about, in other words, the main weapon for these regular Joe Blow Strigoi is to tongue worm somebody.
Yeah.
And like if they tongue wormed him, would he be like, that tickles or like...
I think I know what we're going to see in the finale of this episode of the season. Yeah. I think we're going to see a double tongue.
Double.
I think that's what we're going to see.
Oh, that is one thing to mention.
Icarus and Strabone are going to double tongue.
Strabone has a really cool tongue. He's got kind of a different tongue than the other guys.
He's got a
Tongue. Yeah. Check the sex tape.
Yeah, yeah. Check the tape. Check the tape. Referring to our other more fun show, this is actually there's a lot of tongue / worm action in this week's Ash versus Evil Dead as well.
Oh,
so
really?
So quite enjoyable. It's all about worms, big thick colon worms.
God. All right, so let's get to the last story.
Thank God.
Which is Cetrachian, actually the best pair on the show normally, Cetrachian and Fett. And this takes us to a bunch of places. It starts off by taking us to Fett's parents' place. We remember back in season one, they wanted him to be an architect, or he wanted to be an architect. He and the parents, it all fell apart when he became a lowly killer, rat killer. Yeah. He still got the badge, it destroyed
badge
his family. But now that he saw the devastation last week in Central Park, he's becoming very emotional. They're driving by the part of town where his family's apartment / condo, wherever
suddenly remembers, well, you know what? Since we're a few blocks away, why don't I see if I care about whether my parents are okay?
He's getting all the way to Brooklyn from Brooklyn.
Right, from Red Hook. Yeah. So
no one wants to do that.
They go there. They see one of the neighbors has turned into Strigoi. And then we see something which ties into the flashbacks. We see that apparently Fett's parents were turned. They were turned, and then rather than become Strigoi, they shot themselves in the head. And so, obviously,
are you sure it was?
Have they been thinking about doing this since he decided to not become an architect, do you think?
Right. This is where they were always going to end up.
I just wonder, are you sure they did it because of that, or because after episode one of this show, they didn't want to see any more?
Hey, now.
Now, that is just a mean, cruel thing to say.
That's a very mean and cruel thing.
And so this gets Fett, theoretically, thinking about his ancestors. And he says, you know, my folks aren't the first people in my family to kill themselves. And then in a flashback, we see how past life Fett, before their name became Americanized, how they were put in this situation where they would have to kill people in these camps in Nazi Germany, and he refused to do it, and then he did it. I mean, talk about just, oh, how terrible.
No, I'm trying to figure out I-Course's reasoning for this. It doesn't really seem like they had more guns than Nazis. They didn't need these two guys to do it. The other thing is, I wouldn't necessarily give a guy a loaded gun and then push him over the edge.
Well,
ill-advised.
I would. I probably wouldn't give it back to him, though, after he had returned it to me and disagreed with me.
Yeah.
But
what about after you shot his friend?
Yeah, but poor man's Anderson Cooper is known for forgiveness and understanding and tolerance, so it kind of makes sense. But yeah, no, that was what the sad thing is, is the last three generations of the Fedorovsky family are the luckiest.
Okay, so on that note, we then follow Cetrachian and Fett to a silver pawn shop. Why are they just going there just now, of course, you would wonder.
The plague is in the city 28 days ago.
They had all the silver and all the UV lights they needed. They weren't going to use them, but they had all they needed.
Look,
but since the bomb, they had to go get some more.
Let's face it. These guys are on Plan H, okay? They went through plans A through G to no avail.
Good.
They're on plan H.
Good.
Just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's the top plan.
You know, there's another show we often reference, Bubba. You often reference Scooby-Doo.
Oh yeah.
When talking about, and I think there's
a big cultural influence.
It's a huge cultural influence. It's a lot. Look, watch Scooby-Doo and tell me if you don't know who's going to win the presidential election. So, but there's another show that I think should be referenced more. And especially the scene where Fett and Cetrachian are in the basement working all the silver, and that's the A-Team.
Yeah, they love it when a plan comes together.
They got a plan that's got to come together.
So Cetrachian is Hannibal.
Cetrachian's Hannibal.
Is Fett, I guess, Face?
Fett is definitely sexy. Sexy Fett is definitely Face.
Who is B.A. Baracus?
Clearly it's got to be Dutch.
B.A. Baracus. No.
Dutch.
No, because it's Bad Attitude Baracus.
No, I think that's the Silver Angel.
That's passive aggressive F. No, oh, he's okay. Got a bad attitude.
Who's the crazy Murdoch then?
The crazy Murdoch. Does Gus's mom count? Is she part of the team?
Right now, she's very crazy.
Kelly is Murdoch.
And so it used to be Fetrovsky, now it's Fett. And they have this heart-to-heart scene as they're trying to make the silver for this box to catch the master. They have not.
Are you sure this wasn't your favorite scene? It was so touching.
It was the melodrama that I said the show does poorly. Done poorly.
I thought you really liked it.
But this is also one of the longest scenes in the episode, too.
It is. It is. And so, you know, Fett is trying to say how his whole life kind of makes sense. He's like, now, look at this. I've become somebody who kills something for a living.
Hmm.
And yet, it didn't hit. I didn't feel emotional in this. Did any of you guys feel emotional with this? Mork, you didn't seem emotional.
No, I didn't seem emotional, although I did find it sort of interesting. And it would have worked a lot better if so. Cetrakian gives him a little bit of, you know, a few words of wisdom about what forgiveness is and who is really set free by being forgiven right before they go under the bridge downtown.
Under the bridge downtown.
To get the white away. So, yeah. So, they go downtown. Sorry about that, people. I had to do it. And so, if this was the first time that Cetrakian had met Palmer under the bridge downtown, then maybe, you know, maybe he would have learned something. You know, Cetrakian had learned something from Fett. Then maybe that would have been a nice moment. There's all sorts of nice moments that we could have had on the show that we haven't had yet, but I have nothing but faith.
So
I'm looking forward to more suicides.
No,
let me ask you this. Why? And I asked this when this agreement first came up. Why in the world do you believe is Cetrakian being a collaborator with Palmer? It still doesn't make any sense, in my opinion, from Cetrakian's point of view. He wants to know. He even says, listen, I told you I'd give you this if you gave me the master, if you told where he was. And he's like, well, I can't do that. I can't do that, but I can tell you there's a boat. And something was on the boat tonight.
Well, something potentially critical. It could be big.
Or it could be nothing.
But it's not just... it'd be one thing if these guys had sort of just met each other.
Right.
But they've been antagonists for over 60 years.
And you know how...
70 years.
And you know how evil Palmer has been. Palmer sold out the humans. Why would you ever trust him again after that?
It makes no sense. You just can't trust him. I don't think has he even done one thing. Even if you might think, okay, well, I can get some information from him. Maybe he's playing a double game, but at least I can get some info from him. Have they learned one interesting thing? Well, there was something on the boat. Ooh, interesting. I guess they learned something since the Cetrakian was able to immediately guess.
Right, there's seven ancient
crazy
ones.
Crazy idea that. The three more came over, but that doesn't help. How does that help?
Well, how about this? It helps.
He's just not going to tell us.
How about this? It helps because Cetrakian's going to build a box, he has to capture something in it. So he can't capture the master. The master can't be defeated until the end of season four, the final season. So if we're going to build the box, we got to put something in it. Oh, we'll put one of these ancients who just showed up.
I don't see how that helps. Plus, there's a real question in my mind. I mean, presumably these ancients, the Americanized ancients, not the ones that are coming into the country illegally, okay? Mm-hmm. These illegal ancients who have not been extremely vetted.
Yeah, got to have extreme vetting.
I still think that when it comes down to it, who are the American ancients going to side with? Are they going to side with the European ones? So presumably... Once the master gets out of the way, we're going to deal with the ancients, or are they just going to slip away?
I don't know exactly what the ancients' problem is with the master, because if anyone else really knew about the ancients outside, you know, is there a culture where you could have 3,000-year-old beings in a basement somewhere just feasting on people?
Well, the other thing is maybe you say to. Like a spoiled child or whatever, when they do something, don't do that. But when they do it and it's done already and you see it's actually to your benefit, why wouldn't the ancients just go along now? Okay, they had a pact with yeah. humans not to take
life,
over.
Life has to be better for the ancients now than it has
been. Yeah, things seem to be going smoothly.
Yeah, they got Wi-Fi, they got cable TV.
They got a dark room, there's not a lot. If they want to go from one end of Brooklyn to the other, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. They can do whatever they want.
These guys, the only thing they're worried about is not being able to carry their special tax over.
It could be,
Their carried value tax.
The carried interest. Sure.
Yeah, the carried interest. Well, they got concerns about that.
Yeah, from one millennia to another, that is a big hit. I think what the ancients are trying to do, and especially now that all six of them are going to be together.
Tell me.
Well, I think that it's going to be a hostile takeover of the Tandoori restaurant from last year.
Tandoori Palace.
Palace, yep. Yep. Coming back together.
I think they're going to be one hell of a volleyball squad.
That could also be true.
All right, how about this? The episode ends. Palmer gets some of the white eye droplets. His eyes bleed just like Satrakian's did. That's one thing I said. Well, wait a minute. Satrakian's eyes bled too, even though I wanted to.
It's kind of ridiculous because he said he tricked me.
Yeah.
He warned him.
Right.
He
said, it's going to hurt.
You got to be at home. This is going to be...
Traumatic.
Traumatic.
Yeah.
Exactly the word I was thinking of.
Okay, but what I want to say, let's project going forward.
Okay.
How do you think Eichhorst and or whoever the Crimson Worm has crawled into and become the new master, how do you think they're going to react when they see Palmer suddenly a lot healthier and doing well, when they know they haven't given him the white?
Oh, that's a good point.
I think this is Palmer, you know, yes, he may now be feeling good, but good luck, buddy.
Well, it's one of those things where if that's, I guess, the risk of taking it. Because if you're going to get snippy with poor man's Anderson Cooper and the master, they would just take him out. You know, if you're gonna tell us that you don't need us anymore, okay, goodbye. And so I don't know if this would be the move I would make. Maybe he pretends to be be weak around them.
I would. It'd be smart to. Yeah.
He'd need to get the same makeup advice that Eichhorst has been getting. But what I'm really looking forward to is a scene between the two of them, mm-hmm. between Eichhorst and poor man's Anderson Cooper.
Yes. Yep. Sure.
Where they're forced to talk about the favorite thing they think about. They're forced to compliment each other about one thing they admire about each other.
Okay. Let's take you there.
They will.
Let's take you. To a question from Coco's replacement. You guys have been fighting way too much. Well, I want you, Eichhorst, to say something nice about Palmer, and I want you, Palmer, to say something nice about Eichhorst.
All right. What I will say about you, Mr. Palmer, is you can tell a lot about the man by the nurses that he hires. And this nurse is not like Coco. This nurse is professional and kind, very sturdy, can lift things up over her head, or can push you around. If you need to go on the boat, can push you up the boat, can push you down the boat, can give you your medicine, can tell you what to do. So based on that, I would say you did a very good job in hiring her, you, Mr. Palmer.
Well, what I like about you, Eichhorst...
Yes?
...is that... You play tennis really well one-handed.
How do I know that was meant to be a compliment?
That's a compliment.
Oh, son of a gun. Now, do you guys think when Coco 2.0 ran out of the room and yelling, I quit, do you think she was in character or not?
Right. They just didn't tell her what was going to happen in the scene. And she's like... Okay, so guys, next week we have episode 8, only 3 more episodes this year. Next week's, everybody tune away if you don't like spoilers. Next week is entitled White Light, the Master's Voice proves to be more powerful than F or Dutch anticipated. Let me say, Bubba anticipated that. But then also, Fett and Satrakian track down the Egyptian cargo.
That was easy.
Finally, Quinlan strikes a deal with the ancients, but a betrayal proves deadly.
I'm going to make one prediction.
Maybe one collaborator betrayed another.
Let's hear it.
And that this quote-unquote deadly betrayal will kill no one.
Well, deadly.
Yeah.
Deadly. It doesn't prove dead certain. Deadly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what?
Dead-ish.
Let's talk. Let's talk about who's not mentioned in the coming attractions for next week. Hey, bruh, it's me, Gus, Silver Angel.
Right.
And sure enough, Palmer isn't mentioned.
Formerly lovely Kelly.
Right. Where's Councilwoman Feraldo?
Zach 2.0.
He's
not mentioned either.
Now that he's a man, he should be Zach 3.0.
Councilwoman Feraldo is off getting New York accent lessons.
Okay, so I was very down on this episode. Listeners,
I gave it a 30.
I want to know what you think. I want you to tweet at us, tweet with the hashtag GotYourMilkPodcast, or go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/doublePpodcast. The word double, the single letter P, the word podcast, plural, facebook.com/doublePpodcast. We need you to tell us what you think is going to happen in the exciting, the thrilling final three episodes of season three.
Ooh, I can't tell you how excited I am for these last three episodes.
Do you think there's one guy roaming JFK all by himself, just waiting now that he sees Zeph, and because he knows what F's favorite drink is? He's been waiting for 23 days to burst out from behind a corner and scream out, "Got your milk?"
Yes, I think that's Jim's brother. Okay. Catfish, thank you so much for being a guest.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Tell people how they can reach you on Twitter.
You can hit me up at CJGman67. That's a six before the final seven.
And Mork, tell everybody how they can reach you on Twitter.
They can also reach me at CJGman67 or at Extraordinary.
You can reach me, Bubba, at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And there's somebody roaming around JFK saying,
"Got your milk."
It's been 23 days and I'm still here.